Television series, old and new, are being released in an ever-increasing number on DVD sets. From classics like Your Show of Shows to current series like Sex and the City, TV is finding its way into homes in a new format. TV critic David Bianculli is all for it, for personal as well as professional reasons.
I can remember being in college in the mid-70s and becoming close friends with one of the film professors. He had a 16mm projector and would lug it to my apartment so that my friends and I could watch movies from his personal collection. We projected them on a sheet I tacked to my wall. Boy, that was the life. A couple years later, I was a full-time TV critic, and Sony released the Betamax, the first home video cassette recorder. It cost $1,700, which at the time was one-tenth of my annual income. But I took out a loan and bought one. It meant I could go out at night and watch the TV I missed when I got home. Better yet, it meant I could watch one show and tape another. Best of all, it meant I could compile my own library of films and TV shows. Who needs a film projector? Who needs a professor? Boy, that was the life. Video discs, the next popular video format, was overwhelmingly used for movies, not TV. But now that the DVD is big business, big business has discovered that it's the perfect format for TV fans. The first two seasons of The Sopranos, for example, have been released in separate boxed sets of four discs each. Each box set is about the size of one videotape, which means in the space on my shelf it now takes to hold two episodes of The Sopranos on video, I can put 26. And they look and sound much better and won't degrade with time and are easier to navigate from one scene to another and have all sorts of special features. The only drawback is that what I'm gaining in shelf space, I'm losing in time. Many of these box set releases feature alternate commentaries on the audio track, so you have to watch them twice, once to see the shows and once to hear the behind-the-scenes stories. Most of the box sets, too, have extras tacked on at the end, deleted scenes, sample scripts and storyboards, special interviews. You could lose an entire day working through the goodies on just one of these sets. I know, because I have. I've lost myself in Twin Peaks, the first season of which, minus the telemovie pilot, recently was released in one beautiful four-disc set. The video transfer is so gorgeous, the difference is noticeable from the opening credits. Even the steam from the sawmill billows in pulsating ways I never noticed before. And the sound and music, which David Lynch always obsessed over, really come through beautifully. The first season of Buffy the Vampire Slayer was released last week, and that's an especially fun show to revisit. So many people I know have come to this show late, or not at all, that grabbing the first year's worth of episodes on DVD is the perfect way to get acquainted. I've been amazed by the clarity of the digitally restored Sid Caesar DVD sets, and grateful for the well-chosen segments in the Johnny Carson collection, and happy to store so many Sex and the City episodes in one handy package. And perhaps most of all, I'm thrilled to own the first season of The Simpsons. What a great show, and what a wonderful DVD package. All 13 episodes are included, without commercials, of course, and transferred so crisply you can catch all sorts of formerly blurry hidden jokes. Each episode features an alternate audio commentary, which often is as funny as the show. Here are creator Matt Groening, co-executive producer James L. Brooks, and others whose conversation was recorded while screening one of the episodes, Some Enchanted Evening.
Yeah, this is the show that almost killed The Simpsons.
Whatever do you mean, Matt?
Well,
I remember that day.
We had done 13 episodes, written 13 episodes, and had worked with animators and had all of the episodes in the works before we had seen the results of any of the writing. And all the layouts were done here, but everything was shipped off to Korea. So we really didn't know what we were going to get. And so we had a...
6 months later. Now it's
6 months later, we saw the results of that first script, which was this. And
well, not this episode, what we're seeing now, but
Not this particular episode, because this is the fixed up version. But all the, but there's elements of the original episode in here.
Yes,
right?
There's a couple of shows.
What percentage of this would you say is new?
I think about 70%.
70%.
And anything that we had old, we actually had a new background too, because all the backgrounds were kind of...
But we sat there and saw the worst version of The Simpsons. Well, you can't imagine. You can't imagine how bad it was, that you can be a little off and they became sort of grotesque and everything was horrible.
Could the original animation of that first Simpsons episode be as bad as they claim? It turns out you can judge for yourself, because that very animation is included as one of the many box set extras. In my opinion, it was that bad, as terrible as this first Simpsons DVD is terrific. It doesn't surprise me that Groening is so savvy in taking advantage of this new technological format. He's even savvy enough to make fun of it, and us, in his written introduction inside the box set. "Welcome," he writes, "to the first of many deluxe overpriced DVD sets of The Simpsons. With 280-odd shows in the can and no end in sight, you might be able to complete your Simpsons DVD collection just before the next format comes along. Thanks for buying." He's right, you know, but it doesn't matter. For now, this is too much fun, too convenient, too attractive, too addictive. For a few years, at least, this is the life.
David Bianculli is TV critic for the New York Daily News.